रत्नम् त्वमुत्कृष्ट गते प्रजापते प्रियात्मजा रामसि सुप्रभे
मता
तथापि नाम नापितु प्रपत्स्यते
Having
the best behavior. Prajapate. Of Prajapati Daksha. Priya. The pet. Atmajaram. Of the daughters. Asi.
You are.
Shubhu. You with the beautiful eyebrows.
May.
My.
Mata.
Considered.
Tata.
Api. Yet.
Yes.
Maram.
Honor.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Into whom? From your father. Prapatsyase.
You will meet with.
Mat asraya. From connection with me.
Kaha.
Daksha.
Paritapyate.
Is feeling pain.
Yataha.
From whom?
My
dear white complexioned wife. Now where did that come from? It's not even word for word, but it is clear that of the many daughters of Daksha, you are the pet. Priya Atmajanam, pet. Yet, you will not be honored at his house because of your being my wife. Rather, you will be sorry that you are connected with me. Therefore, Lord Shiva put forward the argument that even if Sati proposed to go alone without her husband, still she would not be received well because she was his wife. There was every chance of a catastrophe, even if she wanted to go alone. Therefore, Lord Shiva, can we get rid of that? It's too much bass, I think. Just give some of the... We've got to fix this sound system up. We should fix it up once and for all. Therefore, Lord Shiva indirectly requested her not to go to her father's house. Okay. There is not much terribly philosophical about that point. So I'm going to read the next verse. Pachamanena vidaturindriya samriddhi bimbusha buddhi sakshinam akalpa esham adivodu manjasa param param vesti yata sura harim One who is conducted by false ego and thus always distressed, both mentally and centrally, cannot tolerate the opulence of self-realized persons. Being unable to rise to the standard of self-realization, he envies such persons as much as demons envy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ouch. But what? The real reason for the enmity between Lord Shiva and Daksha is explained here. Daksha was envious of Lord Shiva because of Shiva's high position as an incarnation of a quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because Shiva was directly in contact with the Supersoul and was therefore honoured and given a better sitting place than he. There were many other reasons also. Daksha, being materially puffed up, could not tolerate the high position of Lord Shiva. So his anger at Lord Shiva's not standing up in his presence was only the final manifestation of his envy. Lord Shiva is always in meditation and always perceives the Supersoul, as expressed here by the words Purusha Buddhi Sakshinam. The position of one whose intelligence is always absorbed in meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very great and cannot be imitated by anyone, especially an ordinary person. When Daksha entered the arena of Yajna, Lord Shiva was in meditation and might not have seen Daksha enter, but Daksha took the opportunity to curse him because Daksha had maintained an envious attitude towards Lord Shiva for a long time. Those who are actually self-realized see every individual body as a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his paramaha feature is residing in everyone's body. When one offers respect to the body, it is not the material body, but to the presence of the Supreme Lord. Thus, one who is always in meditation upon the Supreme Lord is always offering him obeisances. But since Daksha was not very elevated, he thought that obeisances were offered to the material body. And because Lord Shiva did not offer respect to his material body, Daksha became envious. Such persons, being unable to rise to the standard of self-realized souls, like Lord Shiva, are always envious. The example given here is very suitable. Asuras, demons or atheists are always envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They simply want to kill him. Even in this age, we find some so-called scholars commenting on Bhagavad Gita who are envious of Krishna. When Krishna says, Madmanah Bhavamadbhaktaha, Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, text 65, always think of me. Become my devotee and surrender unto me. The so-called scholars comment that it is not to Krishna that we have to surrender. That is envy. The Asuras, or atheists, the demons, without reason or cause, are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, instead of offering respect to self-realized persons, foolish men who cannot approach the high standard of self-realization are always envious, although there is no reason.
Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Staptam Jena Bhuttale Svayam Rupa Kadam Adiyam Tadati Svapadam Tikam Mukam Kadoti Vachalam Vangayate Girim Yakripa Tamam Vandre Sri Gurum Dina Tavim.
One of the qualities of a pure devotee, Prabhupada mentions, pure devotee, or a devotee, is the ability to see everybody equally. Samadarshanaha. But despite the fact that for the devotees, it's a meditation. Which requires some practice, and not something that comes naturally or easily necessarily, without some depth of realization. And that is to see everybody from a spiritual perspective, because generally we're seeing the external form, right? We're seeing the external form of everyone, everything. But the vision of a transcendentalist, or the vision of a person who's advanced in spiritual understanding and spiritual vision, is able to see the true identity of everybody as a spiritual spark, as a part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna mentions Mama Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. We're eternally our own person, our own individual. We have our own identity. Although that that's a spiritual identity. But coming into contact with the material energy, our spiritual identity becomes covered. The example of Prabhupada, or one of the examples that Prabhupada gives, is of a drop of water that falls from the sky, from the cloud. A drop of water is pure in its original state. But when it hits the ground and is absorbed into the earth, then even while the pure water is still present, it exists as what? When water enters into dirt, what do you get?
what do you get?
Mad.
Yeah. So even though the water is there in its pure state, still you've got mud. They say clear as mud. Which means not clear. We exist in our pure state, in our pure condition, even now. But because our and the symptoms of the soul are consciousness, right? And we see that in every living being, there's some awareness, some consciousness, even in the lowest of beings, living entities, or even material bodies for that matter. So we understand that the soul is present within everything, but because it's covered over by the material energy, then it's very difficult to perceive the original identity of the original person. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you know, you look at me and you see the external. I look at you and I see the external. But I see Indian, Mauritian, Hungarian, Gujarati, Nepali, whatever. We can't not see the external. Actually, we can't. Because we've got a body, and that's that body made up of senses, mind, intelligence, and the senses. They're all the impressions that we get through this vehicle, the body that we get. But when we study the Shastra, we're taught something completely different, right? Which is almost antithetical. It's almost it's the opposite of what we perceive, right? Which is why it's hard to break material conditioning. Or we see male, female. We can't actually stop seeing. So long as we're embodied, we'll always see from that perspective. Because that's just the way that this body reflects what's going on around us. It's designed to do that. Actually, material energy is designed to maneuver us. And it's not very hard for it to do that. Because the very vehicle through which we manifest our activities is designed to perceive and to interact with the material energy, or is part of the material energy. The material energy acts on us. Which is why bhakti is so important, bhakti yoga is so important, any form of yoga for that matter, because it tends to, that those processes elevate the consciousness of the individual above the material platform, so that we can learn to see things from a spiritual perspective. Right? And that's meditation, because we're conditioned to see things through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose, through the mouth, through the sense of touch. So we perceive. And we're taught to see jnana chakshush, right? With the eyes of knowledge, or shastra chakshush. We're supposed to see things from the perspective of the spiritual platform, and recognizing Ishvaraha Sarvabhutanam, that Krishna's in the heart of every living entity, directing the wanderings, Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. So a devotee sees the facilities that are afforded to others, the positions that are given to others, even to themselves, as ultimate
may be orchestrated by God, by Krishna, by the Super Soul, right? Ishvaraha Sarvabhutanam Hridyesh Arjuna Tishtiti is situated within the heart of everyone. And so, even though we might see, and there's that verse in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we see, ideally we should see, we see the external forms, the dog, the dog eater, the brahmana, the elephant, the cow, etc. We still can identify with each one as being the same. Of course, they're going to be different. Everybody, here's another dilemma or a paradox. We're all the same, right? But we're all different. Like, what's going on here? Right? We're all the same, but we're not all the same. Right? Nowhere in the creation do we see everything the same. Right? Where do we see, where is an experience where we witness everybody to be the same and equal? No? We know? Hardly ever. If at all, ever. So it's a rare person who's able to see everybody equally. In that, and we say, the living entity and the supreme entity, nityo nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, right? We're eternal. And Krishna is also eternal. So in that way, we're the same. Chaitanas chaitananam, we're conscious. And we're only conscious of a little bit. Right? We're aware of what's going on in this room, basically. And what's happening, what we're experiencing. But Krishna's, he knows everything. We can't even conceive of that. We can't conceive of somebody like us who knows everything. We like to think that we know everything, although it's obvious that we don't. No? So, seeing everything from the spiritual platforms is not so easy, but that's that we're able to cultivate that vision and that understanding by purification, by elevation of consciousness, so that we can appreciate that we're all spiritual by nature, equal to the Supreme Personality of God, at least in quality, not certainly in quantity. That's the difference. So we have many things that are similar, and so therefore we can say some are, right? But at the same time acknowledging the differences, and so therefore there's a separation. This is why sometimes, you know, we read statements in the Shastra and we think, this is just gobbledygook. Right? His hands and legs are everywhere. Right? In the Ishapanishad. His hands and legs are everywhere. But what? Where are they? And, well, there's a way to see that. Well, here are Krishna's hands and legs. Right? And you've got some too, hopefully, right? You've got some of Krishna's hands and legs. And that way, Krishna's everywhere in the form of his hands and legs, only he's given them to us to use. And of course, we're supposed to use them on his behalf, not for our purposes, but we're meant to use them for his purposes. And for our purposes as well. But they, you know, this is our renunciation in bhakti, is that we use what Krishna's given to us, and which belongs to him. We use it for our purposes, but our purposes are then connected and coordinated and work in cooperation with his purposes. So seeing with this transcendental vision requires study of the Shastra, it requires purification of the mind and the senses, and it requires service, actually. We need to engage the senses in the service of the master of the senses, like Rishikesha Rishikena, Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. Right? Uchate or Uttama? No, Uchate. It is said. So we're cultivating this vision of seeing everybody equally as a spiritual spark. Right? At least in the beginning. We hopefully will rise to the point where at some stage we'll be able to see the spiritual identity of everybody. Right? That's quite elevated. And before you can do that, you've got to realise your own spiritual identity. So we're probably quite a way away from that. But it's essential to see everybody from a spiritual perspective, and that whatever facilities or whatever arrangements, whatever position, power, you know, well, the opulences, there are six opulences, right? Whatever opulences that we see in a person, beauty, fame, wealth, influence, power, right? Knowledge, renunciation, these are all opulences. That whatever opulence somebody has, that's been provided by Krishna. Right? He's the super soul in everybody's heart. And so we have to practice seeing from the spiritual perspective. Krishna is within the heart of everybody, and he's facilitating each person's circumstance or situation. And so when we look at it from that perspective, and we do it with a service attitude, then we don't envy the opulence of others. Especially in devotees, we should never envy the devotees. But of course, because we are conditioned and we don't naturally see the spiritual identity of everybody, we sometimes, you know, we see from a material perspective. So we see somebody's got something. And of course, all opulences are attractive. Right? This is why Krishna, which means all attractive, name of Bhagavan, the possessor of all opulence. Because if you've got opulence, right? If you're beautiful, then people like to look at you. Huh? Because they may be looking at you for other reasons. But these things are attractive. And we see it here. Lord Shiva is a very attractive personality. And especially, why is it described that Lord Shiva is attractive? What is the...
Self-realized.
Self-realized, yes, but what is it described here in a word for word? Can you remember?
Meditation, super soul.
Yes, very good. Go to the top of the class. Here. Purusha Buddhi Sakshina. Right? So he's meditating on, focusing on, or here Prabhupada says, being instructed by the super soul. So all his activities are on a transcendental platform directed by Krishna. Right? Purusha, Buddhi, Sakshina. Those who are always absorbed in thought of the Supreme Lord. Manmana, Baba Manbhaktar, Prabhupada mentions that, quotes that verse. Manmana, always think of me. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're practicing to do, thinking of Krishna. Right? So because he's on that platform, he's always... what's that? Is that verse? It reminds... Matschita sabadurani mat prasada tarishisi atachit tvam ahankaram nasrosyasi vinamshati. Right? Is that right? Matschita, if you think of me, Krishna says, Matschita, Sarvadurgani, all difficulties, all problems will be solved. Mat prasada tarishyasi, by my prasad, by my mercy, Krishna says. It's pretty amazing when you think about it, right? Atatra tvam ahankara, but however, if you think you're the doer, nasro, without, you won't hear me, nasro shyasi, and you will be finished, vinamshati, destroyed. Huh? Interesting, a very nice verse. So, if we're thinking of Krishna, rendering service to Krishna, then Krishna will protect us. And that may just mean serving Krishna's devotees. That's how we get Krishna's mercy, or we get Krishna's protection by serving Krishna's devotees. This is the whole principle of the guru-disciple relationship in many respects. We connect with Krishna through service to the devotees. But if we don't have that service mood, and we're not able to look from the transcendental platform, then we tend to think that I'm the doer, or she did this to me, or he did that, or, you know, so many. Instead of seeing Krishna behind the workings and movings of everything, we start to look at the externals, right? And start blaming others or envying others. We think, just like Daksha is thinking, I'm a qualified, and we know, we discussed this before, Daksha is actually a very qualified person, even an elevated person, because of his position, but because of looking from the material perspective rather than the internal spiritual perspective, he's seeing his qualifications in terms of, and we see it sometimes in his company, we see this, I've been around here longer than everybody else, and so therefore you should all do what I tell you to do, right? I'm older, I'm senior because I'm older, or I have a position. I've got a position. I'm the temple president, so therefore you have to do what I tell you to do, huh? which you should, of course. But these are somewhat external. You know, these are external trappings, if you like. Unless they're supported, unless they're substantiated by significant spiritual achievement or advancement, then they're just external. And just in and of themselves don't make a person advanced. Real advancement and natural respect and position will come to the devotees automatically. Right? A good example is Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family. And in a poor family, not in a wealthy family. Right? Yet he became a devotee. This is why Ramchandra Khan became so upset with Haridas Thakur. Because Haridas Thakur was not a Hindu. Yet he was being worshipped by all of the Hindus. Huh? He was respected. Naturally he was respected because his spiritual identity was so obvious and clear to everybody. Except for Ramchandra Khan. He was envious of his position and the respect that he was getting. And because but because he was a devotee, he chanted Hare Krishna. And in one sense, that's all you need to do to be a devotee. Then all so many other qualities will come automatically. Right. But when a person exhibits spiritual symptoms, people naturally will respect them, and they'll naturally be inspired in their service, and so therefore, you know, they'll develop the good qualities. It's mentioned in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. Is it the fifth canto? All the qualities of the demigods manifest in the character of a devotee. Or it's said even someone who just chants Hare Krishna. Right? Someone who chants, probably, there's that verse that ends Prabhu Vishnu Vaya Namaha. One who's empowered by Lord Vishnu through the simple fact of being a devotee will develop all of these good qualities. And when a person develops good qualities, then those who have bad qualities often will envy them, find fault, criticize them, whatever. And we see that here with Daksha. And we have to be careful of not falling into that trap ourselves within ISKCON, within a society of devotees. Being envious of others is a very poor show for a devotee. Because they're anusuya, they're not envious. Why? Because they understand your spirit soul, you're a spirit soul, I'm a spirit soul, whatever facilities we've been given, that it's all being orchestrated by Krishna ultimately. And so if we're going to be truly respectful to everybody, that means through this process that Prabhupada's describing here, respecting the super soul within everyone and recognizing that he's the one who's providing everything. Right? And so when we're offering respects, we're offering respects to Krishna within the heart. And it's interesting, isn't it? It's an essential element of our culture. Every morning we offer respects to the devotees, Manjagapa, Tulubhyas Jaya, Kripa Sidhubhya, Ivacha, Patita, Mambhavani, Vaishnavi, Guru, Namo Namaha. So it's that if Prabhupada's institutionalized the offering of respects to everybody, is that important or not? Or something we could just ignore? No. It's essential to chanting Hare Krishna. It's essential. To see everybody with and Prabhupada says here, when one offers respect to the body, because we're all bowing down, so we've only got bodies with which to do things, so that's what we bow down. It is not to the material body, Prabhupada says here, it's not to the material body, but to the presence of the Supreme Lord. Thus, one who is always in meditation upon the Supreme Lord is always offering him obeisances. So that's why we're always being respectful to everybody. Well, ideally, that's what we should be doing. And that activity is good for us because it removes slowly that offering of respects to everybody slowly. One of the items of devotional service that slowly removes that envy of others. Service to others removes the envy. Right? That God is a person, that his servants are persons, and I'm a person, and my duty, well, my responsibility is to offer respects to everyone. So we have to learn how to see this theoretically from the start, that Krishna is in the heart of everybody. And we do that by being respectful and not envying others. You know, this seeing everybody equally, Prabhupada mentions, we were just in Canto 3, this point was being made, that pure devotion starts with seeing everybody equally. And recognizing that if somebody's in a superior position, you shouldn't envy them, but recognize that's being, they're there by Krishna's arrangement. That facility has been given to them by Krishna. And you know, the good qualities will be, well, good qualities are somewhat earned in many respects. You know, if people aren't respecting us or acknowledging our good qualities and telling us what a good fellow we are, that may be because we're not. Or, you know, we should be humble, ultimately. Humility, but we get carried away with, well, I mentioned this the other day, borrowed plumes. Any good qualities that we might have, they've been given to us by Krishna. They're not ours, actually. Although naturally, because Krishna is naturally endowed with all these wonderful qualities, and so are we in our pure original spiritual condition. But we've got coverings of material contamination. And so instead of appreciating Krishna and Krishna's direction in the whole organized scheme of things, we act on the ahankara. We act on the false ego platform. Ahankara, what is it? Nasrosyasi. Srosyasi means to hear. And how pure-hearted and how conscious, how Krishna-conscious do you have to be to hear Krishna speaking to you and directing you? How many of you have received clear instructions from Krishna as to what you should be doing? How many? You have, actually, because if you read Prabhupada's books, you're getting those instructions all the time. If you're getting instructions from the spiritual master, you're getting those instructions. And it's not Krishna directly, but actually it is. We said, sakshadharigvena samasta sastra. The scripture actually tells us that we are getting instructions directly from Krishna through the spiritual master's instructions, through the books, the shastra. We're getting instructions from Krishna. But hearing directly from the super soul, right? We might hear a faint echo of, you know, the intelligence says, "Hey, Gary Bob, this is not right." But usually we're too pushed by the mode of passion and ignorance to actually recognize, oh, Krishna wants me to do something else. Huh? But this is very interesting because you know, to cultivate that mood of recognizing Krishna in the heart of everybody and accepting the arrangements. And because most of us, you know, life is not easy. There's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be problems. And it's difficult to accept responsibility for the fact, you know, that things go wrong and that we're the cause of them. Right? We think, hey, hang on a second, it's not my fault. What did I do wrong? Krishna, why me? Whereas it really should be, well, why not you? You and everybody else, you deserve it. And people have difficulty with this kind of philosophy, right? Because they think, oh, little baby, oh, so innocent, didn't do anything wrong. Right? But no, you know, if we were so innocent, then you wouldn't have been a little baby born again in the material world. So it's hard to come to grips with setbacks and the fact that somebody else is better than us. It's hard to come to terms with that. And you know, having humility. So we have to be careful. Here Prabhupada's saying, you know, the asuras envy the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. And so sometimes we find that our hearts are contaminated with that covering of envy. And it comes from bad association, basically. And we've been in the material world for so long, so much bad association. We shouldn't be surprised if these things come up again and again. Because we're on the path of perfection, but that doesn't mean we've necessarily become perfect 100%. So sometimes we think, yeah, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 40 years, so I should be pure by now.
Yeah.
But then the problem explains, it's like, you know, when we're following the instructions of the spiritual master, we're on a boat that's traversing the material ocean and we're going back home, back to Godhead. But just in any sea journey, sometimes there's a storm and waves will come over the boat. We're still in the boat and we should stay in the boat, but that doesn't mean there won't be any buffeting from the material energy, from storms and whatever. What keeps us, or what keeps us on the path of perfection is, and what makes us perfect in the long run, is sticking to the order of Krishna and the spiritual master. That doesn't mean that automatically we're going to be free from trouble. Look at Srila Prabhupada, we understand Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee. But did he not have problems?
Mm-hmm.
What about the Pandavas?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Arjuna and Yudhishthira Maharaja, they're all pure devotees. Have to be, because they're eternal associates of Krishna. Does that mean they didn't have any problems? Far from it. In fact, if you become Krishna's devotee, have a guess what? That's why people don't want to be devotees. This is too serious. This is too serious, too hard for me to cope with this. And without fairly and squarely accepting the responsibility for ourselves. And then we blame others, like here, with Daksha, he wanted to be respected. He wanted, and this is what, because of his envy, Lord Shiva is warning his daughter, his wife, who's Daksha's daughter, and who he says here is his pet. Right? She's his favourite daughter. Yet, because of Lord Shiva's qualifications that Daksha wanted, he wanted that respect, he wanted that position. Where when he walked in the room and everybody stood up. We have to be careful of wanting that. Recognition. What is it? Prophet, distinction and adoration. This is what we've got to watch out for. And you'll get it. As devotees, we will get prophet, distinction and adoration. We'll get it. But we shouldn't think, oh yeah, I'm so good. Because then when people don't give it to you, then you'll get upset. Well, come on, what are you? I'm a distinguished person. Why aren't you respecting me? We have to be careful, because as a devotee we will get these things. The more advanced a person becomes, the more people will respect us. But in one sense, a devotee doesn't want that at all. It's dangerous. It's like poison. Lord Chaitanya says, "Na na 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 sundarin." I don't want wealth. I don't want followers. I don't want a beautiful partner. Because these things are dangerous. They grab us and bind us to material existence, to a material conception of life. That's what's happened with Daksha. Even though he is an elevated personality, he became attached to those facilities, and then when he didn't get it, or he saw somebody else getting it, not being able to see that Krishna is the provider of that facility for Lord Shiva, because he's such an, well, he's a guna avatar. Right? How can you, Daksha's obviously in trouble here. Because of his enmity towards Krishna. And so that's why the example here is given by Lord Shiva. He's like a demon. Mm-hmm. Demons always hate the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. So we have to be careful, right? We can think of ourselves as devotees, but sometimes we get in conflict with ourselves and with them, right? And then we start behaving like a demon. So sometimes we scratch our head, what's wrong with this guy? Well, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? I'm a devotee, but I'm still struggling with my conditioning. Right? So this is a common struggle. We're all probably doing it. Struggling with the achievements of others and looking from the external platform and thinking that the external platform also is a symptom of advancement. It may not be sometimes. Huh? So we want to become, we're inspired to become Purusha Yogi Shakshinam. Seeing Krishna, Sabhasya Chaham Ridhi Sanivishdo, to see Krishna within the heart of everyone. Oh, how exalted, yet possible, for somebody who chants Hare Krishna, and especially for somebody who preaches. That vision is attainable, even for us. It's not unreachable. It's actually quite easy. If we're able to chant, just like one Maharaj, was a close friend of Srila Prabhupada. Although Prabhupada did say some rather rude things about one Maharaj. But he was a close friend, and Prabhupada would tell him that he was going to preach all over the world. You know, he told him Prabhupada had his vision for his preaching for years before he became a sannyasi. You know, it was recognized by his godbrothers that then Abhay Babu was focused on preaching. I just read, there's a new book the BBT's just published, and the devotees in Brisbane gave me a copy of it. It's called Ocean of Mercy, and it's Bhakti Chiruswami's memoirs of his time spent with Srila Prabhupada. So if you get an opportunity to, if you see that book, grab it, because it's a really good read. I read it all in Fiji last week. Amazing book, really nice. Anyway, Bom Maharaj was asking, because he saw that Srila Prabhupada was deeply absorbed in his preaching mission and in his service to Krishna and in his chanting. And he said, you know, I want that, what you've got, I want it. Prabhupada said, well, I haven't got it, but I've got the formula. You've probably heard this story before. I've got the formula. Trinada Pisuni Chinato Reva Sahishna Manina Maradina Kitani Asadari. And this is Maradina Amaradina, right? So that verse says we should be respectful to everybody, but not expect respect for ourselves. Right? It's part of the formula, the magic formula. Trinada Pisuni, tolerance, right? What else? Tolerance and Trinada Pisuni tolerance like a tree and forbearance like grass. Right? So I always, you know, when you walk on grass, what does the grass do? It's squash. So we have that mentality. If somebody treads on us, then we go jai babu. That's pretty hard, though. Right? We get trodden on by somebody and we go, hey, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? But then we see when somebody has that attitude, that mood, and they're always joyful, they're always happy, and they happily accept whatever the trials and tribulations, seeing that ultimately that's Krishna's arrangements for my benefit, to make advancement, and to honour Krishna's position as the super soul, who's guiding and directing the wanderings of everyone, and that he has my best interest, because he's the Suridam Sarvabhutana, right? He's the best friend of everybody. So if there's some problem, that must be what Krishna wants. What do you think? Easy? Sounds easy, right? Try putting it into practice. We see that with the pastime of Govardhan Puja. When Krishna redirected the worship of the residents of Vrindavan from Indra to Govardhan Hill, right? Look what happened to Indra. He is so upset. What's going on here? Don't you know who I am? So, you know, wealth, position, fame, these things are actually detrimental to spiritual advancement. So therefore Lord Chaitanya says, nādanam nārajanāna sundari. I don't want these things, because they can cause a lot of trouble. Yeah, we spend most of the time waking up, oh, I want to be respected forever. I'm the best book distributor. Or I'm the best. You put in whatever you think you are in that space. But we have to be careful, we have to avoid that, because it's somewhat demonic, because I'm only the best because Krishna's the best and he's let me share some of his business. The superlatives come from Krishna, and if we have some of them, that's because he's given it to us. And if somebody else has got it, that's because he's given it to them. Alright, I should finish here. We started class this morning at a time when we were supposed to finish. So anyway, we have good fortune today. We can remember Krishna's Govardhan Leela and the humbling of Indra. So we can pray, please let me be like Indra. Oh no, hang on a second. Please let me be in the same position as Indra. After he was chastised, not before. Okay, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.